I know that you are not going to remember every word I say. Far from it. But I'm convinced that I have an idea, and it won't be new to you, but I have an idea that if you will follow this idea, you cannot fail during this coming school year. I mean that literally. You will not fail any class. In fact, you will achieve academically. You will grow spiritually. And you will succeed in every area of your life. Now, that is true. The Lord tells us in the Doctrine and Covenants, the 29th section, verses 34 and 35, that all things unto him are spiritual. And not at any time has he given a commandment that was temporal. He said they're all spiritual. Well, that ought to tell us something. All things unto the Lord are spiritual. The Apostle Paul in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians talks to us about spiritual matters. Let me just read a verse or two, beginning with the ninth verse in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Now note that. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, now note this, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Anything you and I know at the present time about the Lord Jesus Christ, any testimony, any conviction, any understanding, we have the Savior, has been revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we would not know it, nor could we know it. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you know that any class you have on campus is known to the Lord? Now, he will not give it merely for the asking. There must be effort. Honest, legitimate, conscientious effort on the part of the student. But when that effort is put forth, the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, will open the mind of the student and reveal it to him. Now, that will come at a time of the Lord's choosing. Now, I know we're often of a nature that we would just as soon have the answers right now. I'm in the middle of an exam, and I don't need the answers next period. I happen to need them right now. And often we're that way with the Lord. We get fairly demanding with him sometimes. But rest assured that all things are known to him, and all things can be made known to us through the Holy Spirit. Just for example, two lady missionaries were traveling in their automobile, going from their apartment to their tracting area. This was back in Columbus, Ohio. As they approached an intersection, the one sister driving said to her companion, I have a feeling we should turn left at this next intersection. Her companion wanted to know why. She said, well, I don't really know why, but I just have that feeling we should turn left. So at the intersection, they turned left, went down the street several blocks. She slowed up, pulled over to the curb, stopped the car. They sat there for a few moments in the car, and the sister who had been driving said to her companion, "I have a feeling we should knock on that door right over there." So they got out of the car, walked up the path, rang the doorbell. In a few moments, the door opened, and here stood an elderly couple. The sister began to introduce herself and her companion, and this man said, "You are servants of God." Well, she agreed. She said, "Yes, sir, we are. We're representatives of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." And he invited them in. Now, you returned missionaries can appreciate that. They sat in the living room that morning, and this man said, "For 30 years, my wife and I have been searching for God's church. We've joined several churches, but never did we ever feel that we had joined his church, that we belonged to his church. Well, just this morning," he said, "at breakfast, we were talking about it and decided we had never, ever prayed about it. So we actually knelt in prayer and for the first time offered up a vocal prayer. And we asked God to do one of two things, either to lead us to his church, wherever it was, or to send someone to us who could help us." And he said, "We were just talking about this when you rang the doorbell." Within 2 weeks, that lovely couple was baptized. Well, now listen. Here is how this thing works. Will you listen carefully? Section 8, verses 2 and 3 tell us this. "I will tell you in your mind and your heart, by the Holy Ghost which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart. Now behold, this is the Spirit of revelation." Do you understand that? See, he spoke, he gave instructions to the mind of this sister. He told her, "At this intersection, turn left." She obeys. She turns left, goes down the street. He tells her, she has the feeling. That's how the Lord communicates with us. He speaks to the mind, what? And as he speaks to the mind, simultaneously, we feel it in the heart. And she feels she should slow up. That's the Spirit giving her instructions. Slow up. You're doing 90 and a 20. You know? You're going to pass by these people. Slow up. Pull over right up there. Stop the car. She gets these feelings. Now, how many of you sisters have had feelings before? I mean, you've all had feelings. I can see some of you are feeling quite good right now. You're sitting next to someone you like to sit next to, and that's just great. I'm talking about other kinds of feelings. She gets the feeling, that door right there. And they go to the door, and here is this couple. We had an elder in the Netherlands, Ron Christensen from Salt Lake City, Utah. One of the finest missionaries this church has ever known. Ron Christensen knew nothing more than to do as his mission president asked him to do. I'd say to him, "Elder Christensen, I want you to go here and do this or do that." And he would just do it. Everywhere he went, baptisms went up. Everywhere he went, member activity soared. I sent him up to Leiden, a city on the coast between The Hague and Amsterdam. So they're going to build a new church there in a few months, or they're going to buy some property in a few months to build a new church. We need some families. In the next 6 or 8 weeks, we must have 3 or 4 good families in that branch. Okay. Okay. He always asked me, "Are they there?" Well, of course they're there. I wouldn't send you there. Oh, that's all I wanted to know. And I'll call you. I'll call you as soon as I found them. Do you know, he called me after 3 days. The telephone rang one morning. Secretary said, "President Pinniger, Elder Christensen is on the phone." I knew what his answer was. He said, "I found them." "Oh, you found them? Oh, yeah." He said, "President, they are the 3 most beautiful families in the world." He said, "I'm confident they'll come in, and this 4th one," he said, "I think they'll make it too." Well, look, if he thought that fourth one didn't make it. That fourth one didn't have a chance. That's the way Ron Christensen was. I said, so you found these families? He said, well, now we've only been here 3 days. You know what I didn't tell him? I didn't tell him that there hadn't been any families baptized in that branch in a year. He had 4 weeks to go on his mission. I sent him down to a city in southern Holland. I said, I'd like you to go down there to finish out your mission. You only have 4 weeks to go, and in that time, we have to have at least 2 good families baptized. He always asked me, are they there? Well, of course they're there. That's all I want to know. I'll call you. He had been there 4 days. The telephone rang 8:30 this one morning, and the secretary said, President Elder Christensen from Heerland is on the phone. I knew what his answer was. Picked it up. How are you this morning, Elder Christensen? Found him. Oh, you found him. Oh, yeah. And they are the most beautiful families you have ever seen. So you found him. Well, now we've only been here 4 days. Do you know what I didn't tell him? See, he had labored in that city 18 months before. No one had been baptized in that city since he left. I'd had 4 teams of missionaries in that city. And each team suggested to me, President, close the city. There's no one left to be baptized. No one will accept the gospel. That happened with 4 great teams of elders. And Ron Christensen goes down there, and all he wants to know, are they there? Of course, it was a city of 100,000 people. That's all I want to know. I'll call you. About 4 or 5 days before he left to go home, he and his companion baptized these 2 beautiful families. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference? Do you want me to tell you what the difference is? I'll tell you. You. You make the difference. You decide whether or not the Spirit of the Lord is with you. Do you not? I do not. Brother Jackson doesn't. Your roommates do not. Your parents do not. Your bishop does not. President Kimball does not. You decide whether or not the Spirit of the Lord is with you. How then? How can you and I ensure that we will have the Spirit of the Lord with us? Now, you have really learned how all of your life in this church. How? How? Now, when you're in school, as you are, there are many, many, many things, as you know, vying for your attention. And some, you have necessity, you try to sort them out, and you place them in a priority list, either consciously or not. And you give this a higher priority than this. And maybe that's right and maybe it isn't right. But nevertheless, we place things in a certain priority scale in our lives, do we not? And then we move and our actions are determined in accordance with that priority list. Do you want to be high-minded and a spiritually sensitive person during this school year? Would you like to be that way? That is the way to succeed. Not just here at the Institute, but on campus. To be high-minded and spiritually sensitive. A suggestion. Michelangelo chiseled away at a great block of stone for many months. And finally, Moses stood there. He sculptured that great bust of Moses. And a man asked him, he said, how did you do that? I don't understand how you did that. And he simply replied, I just chiseled away until everything that wasn't Moses wasn't there. I simply chiseled away at everything that wasn't Moses, until everything that wasn't Moses wasn't there. Now, I wonder if you and I had not to keep chiseling away at problems. Chiseling away until all of the chaff and all of the mundane, all of the irrelevant matters or concerns in our lives are not there. We sort of blow the chaff away. You know? We sort of get rid of those things that are irrelevant, that we put in a priority rating here, and they're taking up our time, our energy. Can you think of a few? Does TV play a role in that? Dragging mane, do they do that in Ephraim? I read in the paper last night where they're going to try to control what young people do in American Fork by chaining off Main Street after 11 o'clock at night. I'm not recommending that to the city council in Ephraim. But there are many things. Too often we spend our time concentrating our time and energy on the irrelevant. Lord Thompson of Fleet, who died, it's been within the past 10 years, one of the most wealthy men in this world, and who was, by the way, a great friend of the church. He was not a member of the church. He was a Canadian who moved to England, and one of the most wealthy men in this world. He said, "Thinking is the process of worrying about the solutions to problems." Thinking is the process of worrying about the solutions to problems. But you know what most of us do? We worry about the problem. We worry about the problem. That problem is gigantic. It's overshadowing us. It's weighing us down. And we don't think about the solution to the problem. Why don't we focus? Let us focus our attention, our energy on solutions. So here's the problem. The problem's identified. Let's now take our mind off that problem. Let's start focusing on solutions. And lo and behold, this thing will happen, that problems get solved. May I suggest one project in which you could become engaged, beginning even today? Well, now today's Friday. And the weekend's ahead of you. Maybe that's not a very good time. Monday is just after the weekend. That's not a very good time. Tuesday and Wednesday, you're kind of tied up with things. That's not a very good time. Thursday is the day before Friday, and you're getting ready for the weekend. So I'm not sure that's a very good day. How about now? Let me just share with you an experiment I tried with some students one time. I taught a class a couple of years ago at BYU while I was mission president at the training center. They had me teach a missionary preparation class, and I tried this with my class. And I've used it with missionaries. And that is this. I tried to teach the class the great blessings that come from sacrificing. To sacrifice and to obey. During the semester, I assigned the students a project. And in fact, they could choose. They could select in any area of church, home, work, and school. Some selected things they could do in each of those four areas. But I suggested that the individual define specifically what he or she wanted to accomplish at home. What did they want to improve at home? What did they want to improve at church or at school or at work? Then decide what you will sacrifice to accomplish that. Decide when you will sacrifice, and decide how. We often decide we're going to sacrifice, but we never determine when we're going to do it or how we're going to do it. But we do make the decision to sacrifice. So the sacrifice never takes place because we've never decided when or how we're going to do it. So you decide. Let me give you an example. In fact, this young man is on a mission now in Iceland. His name is Brett Leifson. I had them give a report on their experiences, and here's what he said. He said, I worked at a grocery store part-time while I was going to school at BYU, and I realized that I hadn't been as diligent as I should be. I mean, he was often late for work. He sometimes would leave early. He was kind of lazy on the job, and he was fortunate even to have a job. Well, he said, I just hadn't been quite the employee that I ought to have been. I decided to sacrifice to come a little early, work more quickly, you know, not be so slow, so pokey, and that I would get things cleaned up before my time was up in working each day. And the way he did it, he decided to sacrifice some TV time so he'd get to work early. Do you know, he said, within 2 weeks, I had a raise and a promotion. Now, perhaps, he said, that the raise and promotion would have come anyway, but I think not. This same young man had decided in terms of his classes at school that he needed to do something about his assignments on 3-term papers. You know what a term paper is? Yea, verily, you know what a term paper is. And he had 3 of them due, and his pattern was that he would do them sometime the night before they were due. Usually stay up all night. That's familiar to some of you. He'd stay up all night and hand it, go to no other classes that day, and finally hand in his papers. Well, he said he decided that he would spend 4, now listen to this, 4 extra hours a week. That's just 4 hours in an entire week working on those term papers. And again, he decided to watch TV just a little less. Yesterday, he said, I submitted 2 of those reports 2 weeks early. And I got word from my professor last night that I got an A on each one of them. Totally unheard of, he said, in my academic endeavor. The other report he was to submit the following week. I would suggest, my dear brothers and sisters, that those results were not accidental. Does that apply to you? Let me tell you quickly about a missionary, the Missionary Training Center. This happened about, well, no, it would be now 3 years ago. 3 years ago this fall. We had made arrangements for the final home football game at BYU for all of the missionaries and the then LTM to go to the football game. So I made an announcement over our PA system that you could purchase tickets at the front desk. They would be $1 each, and let's go to the ball game tomorrow and have a great time. Well, late Friday afternoon, an elder came up to me, and he said, President Penninger, do I have to go to the ball game tomorrow? I said, do you have to? I said, are you well? I said, don't you like football? Oh, he said, if you only knew. He said, if you only knew how badly I want to see that game. He said, I played college football for 2 years. He had, when he graduated from high school, a full 4-year scholarship, athletic scholarship, offered him from 10 of the major universities in the United States, the football powers in the U.S. He had accepted one from a school in Southern California. And he said, do I love football? Oh, how I love football. But after last season, he said, my bishop came to me and asked me to go on a mission. I thought, how can I do it? But I prayed about it, and he said, the Lord told me to go on a mission. I explained it to my coaches. They were sad, but they offered me the scholarship when I get back. So I love football, but he said, I made a commitment to the Lord that I would learn all 8 missionary discussions in Japanese before I'm through at the language training mission. Now, he said, if I go to that ball game tomorrow, I will never learn those discussions. So I gave him permission to stay there and study. Sacrifice. Oh, that was a sacrifice. Well, I didn't see him again. He had about 5 weeks left to go on his mission. 3 or 4 days before he left, I just happened to see him in the hallway. He said, hey, President, remember me? Well, I remembered his face. I said, give me your name. And, well, I'm the elder. I'm Elder so-and-so. And remember, I didn't want to go to the football game. Oh, yes. Well, he said, last night I passed off the 8th discussion in Japanese. I said, how is that possible? Well, he said, you remember that day I didn't go. He said, prior to that day, the most I could ever memorize in any day was 20 lines. 20 lines in Japanese in a 12-hour studying day. He said, that day I memorized 120 lines. And from that moment on, he said, I just took off. And last night I passed number 8. And his recall ability was 85%. Do you know how many words there are in Japanese? There are 18,000 in those discussions in English. There's somewhere between 22,000 and 23,000 in Japanese. Well, now I'm suggesting to you, as I conclude this message today, that if you will be willing, if you will be willing to get serious about this thing and identify where you need improvement, and seriously go about sacrificing something to achieve that, I tell you, the Lord God, our eternal Father, will overshadow you with His Spirit. And your intellectual capacities will be expanded, and you will achieve. You'll be greater students. This will be your greatest year ever in studying and in achieving academically. President Kimball has said, the Lord watches over us and is concerned about us, but He usually helps us through another person. Now, do you need someone? I don't know who that someone is, but if you will live close to the Lord, He will raise up someone who can assist you, who can help you. Spirituality, my dear brothers and sisters, is absolutely the key to success. And one, just one of many ways, just one way to achieve high-mindedness and a spiritually sensitive spirit is to sacrifice. It is to obey. And it is to chisel away at all of those things in our lives that are not uplifting. To chisel away until all that is left is you being high-minded and spiritually sensitive. I bear witness that God, our eternal Father, lives, that His Son is Jesus Christ, even the Redeemer of the world, that President Kimball is, in fact, a living prophet. And I just feel compelled to bear witness to the divinity of the prophet Joseph Smith. He was and is a prophet of the living God. And I tell you, it says in section 122, verse 1, the ends of the earth shall inquire after thy name. I think I can do this in a minute. I was in a meeting last week in Salt Lake, and I heard a report of a man who just got back from Nigeria and Ghana in Africa. He was sent there by the church, and he brought back a report. At least part of that report is confidential. But he said, when the Lord gives a revelation of the magnitude that he gave on the priesthood being given to blacks, he said he prepares his children throughout the world for that revelation. He said he went to this hotel in Ghana. I asked the man where I could find a certain individual who was a district president. I gave him his name and address. He did not know where. He was a clerk in the hotel. And I told him what I was doing. I represented the church. He didn't know anything about the church, and I handed him a brochure on the prophet Joseph Smith. And I invited him out to church. Well, I didn't see him again until Sunday night. He wasn't to church on Sunday morning. But he came up to me in the hotel Sunday night, and he apologized to me for not being in church. And he said, "Oh, Mr. McConkie," this is a brother to Bruce R. McConkie. He came up to me and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry I was not able to be to church. But I read that story." And he said, "I shared that with 8 of my friends. And we believe it's true." He said, "Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, and we want to be baptized into this church." He said, "Joseph Smith isn't just for you. He is for us." Well, now I tell you, do you want to know if the prophet Joseph was a prophet of God? I tell you, you sacrifice. You obey. You be high-minded and spiritually sensitive, and you will gain a witness. Yea, even the ends of the earth shall inquire after thy name. And that is happening, brothers and sisters, throughout the face of this earth. May God help us. And as you begin this new year in your academic endeavor, I pray that our Father in heaven will overshadow you with his Spirit and lift you to new heights. And I do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.